The lesson is from the book of Luke. Now he, Jesus, was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." Others, to test him, kept demanding from him a sign from heaven. But he knew what they were thinking and said to them, "Every kingdom divided itself against itself becomes a desert, and house falls on house. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out the demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I cast out the demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your exorcists cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his castle, his property is safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." This is the word of the Lord.
The Apostle Paul describes the fierce battle between good and evil fought out in the heavenly realm, but also spilling forth, played out in this world with these words from Ephesians 6:12. "For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Truly, we see this fierce battle, this heavenly battle played out on this planet. I mean, if you think back to the 19th century, World War I and the gassing in the trenches, at the end of the Enlightenment era as such, the creed that we're just getting better humanly as we advance, World War II and the Holocaust, the extermination of millions of Jews, not to mention millions of people suffering and dying as a result of that war. Or think about global terrorism, you know, the killing of innocents, you know, thousands of innocent people, all in the name of God. Again, the battle is fierce, and we see it around us, do we not? The senseless, evil abuse of innocent, vulnerable children. The march of teenage suicide because of a hopelessness setting in the soul of young people. We see it, in a sense, also played out in our own lives, the battle. We are vulnerable. Each and every one of us are vulnerable to the destructive forces of evil. And the truth be known, if we aren't alert as such, we can be easily headed down a slippery slope. And yes, a destructive path. Here's how it's put in 1 Peter 5:8. You know, Peter is speaking. These people are engaged. It's a fierce battle. He says to his fellow brothers and sisters, "Discipline yourself. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour." That someone, of course, easily can be you and me. We see this in our reading for today, this fierce opposition. In verse 13 of Luke 11, previous to our reading, we read how it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the Spirit. Same thing in Luke 12. It is the Father's pleasure to give the kingdom without measure. So there is this kingdom, God's kingdom. Jesus, the Son of God, has arrived. And in the power of the Spirit, he's bringing forth the kingdom. It's confronting strongholds. In particular, our reading today, he casts out, he exorcises this demon that causes this man to be mute. And we are told in the crowds, they're amazed. This is amazing. The power of God's kingdom manifesting in this person of Jesus, the Son of God, restoring life. It's good, right? But there's opposition. Evil opposition. In 15, then, we read how some in the crowd said that he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. In Matthew's account of this, we read these some folks are in fact the Pharisees. And in Mark's account, the scribes. These religious leaders, in a word, were threatened by Jesus, the Son of God, and the kingdom power and rule that he advanced. As a result, they sought to undermine him concerning his identity and saying that he casts out demons by the powers of darkness, by Beelzebul. Again, eroding his authority, or seeking to, rather. And then again, further opposition. We are told that there are some in the crowds who sought to test him. If you really are who you say you are, perform some powerful sign from heaven. It's ironic. He just did. He just cast out that demon. But they're trying to challenge him with respect to his identity, who he is as the Son of God. Prove it, Jesus. Prove it some more. Prove it. Jesus doesn't take the bait. He knows who he is. He knows he is the beloved Son of God, which the Father declared over him in his baptism. Each and every day, there's a battle in the mind in terms of our identity. Our sense of value and worth as a child of God. And we can ask ourselves, do I have a growing sense of my value and worth? That's a gift of God. Spirit of adoption when we receive Jesus, that we are the beloved of God. Do we have a growing sense of that? Or does the flesh or old tapes or this world in which we live kind of undermine that clarity? It's a growing edge for all of us, to be sure, in a performance-based world. And so Jesus is confronted by this evil opposition as he advances the kingdom. But he goes on the offensive, and he confronts his opposition with logic, a comparison, and a challenge with respect to logic. He says, hey, if I'm casting out demons by, the demonic, then the demonic kingdom, Satan's kingdom, cannot prevail. It's divided. And we all know, logically, right, a house divided will fall. Goes logic. 19, goes on the offensive again by offering a comparison. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your exorcists cast them out? In Jesus' day, there are other folks, other religious folks, performing exorcisms. And Jesus is simply saying, if these exorcisms are performed by the power of God and the people believe them to be, then he is saying, my exorcism, compare them to theirs. And if you say theirs are by the power of God, then mine are too. And they then will judge you. It speaks for itself. And then finally he goes on the offensive again by offering a challenge. In verse 20 he says, but if it is by the power of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And really a better rendering, since the finger of God has come to you, since it is by God itself, by himself, that I'm casting out demons, then it's quite evident the kingdom is among you. And the challenge then is very clear to all of us in verse 23. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. To be sure, friends, we are engaged in an epic battle. Jesus has brought forth the kingdom. God is at work. The kingdom is advancing. Ultimately, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will be battered down by the advance of the kingdom. And the challenge then for you and me in this day and age, where we see the battle most poignantly, will we link arms with Jesus and gather the lost in the kingdom? Or will we kind of sit on the sidelines or think there's a third option that we can kind of, play it cozy or on neutral ground? There is no neutral ground, Jesus says. Either you're for me or against me. So just ask yourself, let's just ponder, let's reflect on this word, its application. How are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing in terms of, in light of this battle, this day and age in which we live, where there's even an increased battle, are we joining forces with Jesus? Are we engaging faith? Are we about kingdom activity? Or are we on the sidelines, so to speak, kind of thinking, hey, you know, I'll just play it with respect to, you know, play it cozy, if you will. I want you to think about this. I want you to hear this. If we are not engaged, we are prone to the evil one. It's a daily battle because we so easily can be deceived and find ourselves headed down a path of an insignificant life in light of the epic struggle. We so easily can be on a path that, if there's no intervention, will lead to destruction. Do you believe that? Because the enemy is very deceptive, very subtle, and he begins in the mind, the battle of the mind. We find ourselves lonely, for example. And so we engage in a relationship. Hey, it's just a platonic. We're just friends. You know what? It's okay if I pad my expense account, add a little extra. After all, I've done so much for this company. I deserve to feast on the just desserts of revenge after all the wrong that he has done to me. Or it begins in the mind, subtly. Here's how it's put in James chapter 1. But one is tempted by one's own desire, and we could also say unmet desire. Being lured and enticed by it, then, when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. That's the destruction. Do not be deceived, my beloved. I remember being at a conference. We had a conference, and the speaker said, this was a pastor of a large church, you know, very successful as such in terms of metrics of bucks and butts, you know. He says, you know, if I'm not engaged in prayer and the Word of God with others, you know, staying engaged, he said, easily within a 24-hour period, I can find myself in the far country. Easily. We have a weakened, sinful flesh. We have a far from God culture. Someone told me today, in the last 3 decades, there's been a 266% increase in people who do not engage faith. Literally a third of our culture now do not engage faith. We live in a far from God culture, under the sway and influence of evil. And there is this one who, again, can dupe us, weaken flesh, fallen values, who seeks to get or attacks us where we are most vulnerable and seeks to get a toehold in the door of our minds, so to speak, and work on us over time, leading us again to insignificance or even down a pathway to destruction. Where might you today be most vulnerable? In light of that, friends, our vulnerability, Jesus says, either you're for me, either you're engaged or you're not. Hence the need to engage faith through the Word of God, through a community, through a relationship with God, to engage faith by playing a role in advancing the kingdom. When you read on in verses 24 and 26, he talks about, you know, when a demon is cast out of a person, if it's just swept clean but not replaced with good, then the demons who are out there looking for a place, looking for someone to devour, will come back, these 7 demons, and they are worse off than when they first began. The point being is engagement. There is no middle ground. So here is a way to go on the offensive. And we sometimes think we're backpedaling, but really the kingdom of God ultimately is advancing in spite of our culture. At some point in time, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And the enemies of God will be thrown in the lake of fire, and Jesus will reign forever. The gates of hell will not prevail. But we can, and so we can go on the offensive. Amen to that? Listen to this now. Number one, okay, it's real simple. But claim your identity. Claim your identity. Engage faith in a growing sense. If you read Scripture, it begins in the mind. It begins with a clear sense of who you are. Because if we do not have a clear sense of who we are as God's beloved, then again, we're easily prone to, you know, to the sway of this world. We have to prove ourselves. So what do? We work harder. Prone to workaholism. Are any of you out there kind of, you know, working harder and harder to prove your value and worth in a performance-based world? Of course. We may feel like we're damaged goods because of our childhood and wounds that have been kind of seared and etched on our psyche. So we're prone to addictions to cover the pain. Alcohol, shopping, gambling, sex. We may feel hopeless because of the past actions. Oh, and the enemy loves to attack us, so we wallow in regret. Thank God we have a sovereign God, that God can work in all circumstances, even in past failures, for good to advance his cause. Isn't that good news? And I like how it was put in the Indeed this past Wednesday. Do memories of the past hound you? Take an active stance against them. Point the enemy to Jesus as the basis of your righteousness. I like this. His accusations are irrelevant once you've found your identity in the perfect Son of God. Beloved, forgiven, glory-filled, glory-bound, child of God. That's who you are. That's who I am. In spite of what we may say or the world. Just say with me simply, I am beloved of God. Let's say that together. I am beloved of God. What if we started each day, looked in the mirror and said, I'm beloved of God. I'm a glory-filled child of God. Can you imagine? Let the Spirit bless that truth, because that is the truth of God. Number two, then. Stand on the word. Okay, we know that. Pretty much every sermon is pray and read the word, right? As far as what we're supposed to do. Oh, but it's so hard to do. It's simple, yet difficult, because we're so busy. And yet Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says, stand, therefore, fasten the belt of truth around your waist, the truth of Jesus. His love, his forgiveness. In John's gospel, the 8th chapter, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Pray for the grace to immerse ourselves in a growing sort of way into the truth of God's word, allowing the Spirit to speak truth into our very minds. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Learn to hear the voice of God. Again, praying for grace to stop. And then the grace somehow to take a next step. You know, just living into that. Again, simple yet difficult, right? And another way we engage or we go on the offensive is to step into your authority and power. What? Authority and power? Think about it. Jesus says, all authority in Matthew 28 has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He transfers his authority to you and me, and then he authorizes us to be his ambassadors in a darkened world. We're authorized to go. You know, we have a right to go in Jesus' name, to represent him. And as we go, as we step out, as we engage the Great Commission in some way, to be a disciple, to make disciples, we experience the reality of God, the power of the Spirit. We experience the power of God's word somehow as we embody it we find that God does God's work, and somehow he's using us in some way to do his bidding in the world. We have authority and power. That's if we engage the great command to go and make disciples. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about God. It is about God so loving the world. It's about God calling you and me, authorizing. It's about the power of the Spirit, and the word of God will return void. Authority and power. Step into it. The enemy would hate for you to step into your authority and power. And all this is just has to happen in community, and that's number four. Just find some folks you're teaming up with about living the faith with others. I don't know about you, but I'm an external processor. And as I can, some of you know that, of course. Emily's laughing. I just kind of got to yap to talk things out to come to some clarity. Hey, I kind of was thinking about this. Matt, you know, suffers longly too at times. But I'm just thinking maybe I'm hearing this, and what are your thoughts? And it's amazing how I get truth from other people. And as I, you know, share that, then there is some level of accountability. We all need grace because, you know, at the end of the day, apart from him, we can do nothing, right? But we all need grace. But together, God has called us to be part of a family, a body of Christ. Again, so we can encourage one another, strengthen one another. I mentioned earlier, just think about this. I mentioned earlier that there's a 266% increase in godlessness over the last three decades in this culture. Do you think we need to stick together a bit? We're out in the world, but we better rally here. I sometimes see that fellowshipping that takes place here and there and on Wednesday nights and before services. Like, you know what? We just need each other because it's easy to get discouraged with this advance of godlessness. So we're told, together we're stronger. Be a part of the body of Christ. We need the thumb. We need the ankle. God needs you to be engaged. A threefold cord is not easily broken. So as you reflect, as you think, do you discern there's an epic battle going on out there in the world? And somehow beyond us, there are principalities and powers. There are, you know, legions of angels. There are divisions of fallen angels, darkness. And it's described as a hand-to-hand combat. You know, fighting for the souls. Ultimately, it's a defeated foe. Satan is. He is a defeated foe and the demons. But there is this epic struggle if you discern. The enemy would have us not be discerning. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Believe it. And we could so easily be swayed. Believe that. And you probably found yourself. Happens very subtly over time. Jesus says, either you're with me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's not. Either we're engaging or we're not. And to not engage is to be backpedaling. Either we're gathering and being a part of somehow light in this world, or the advance, we're doing nothing, and people are scattering further and further ground. There is no middle ground. So this is all for naught. This is just a lot of yakking. If you're not discerning the Holy Spirit in some way, impressing something on your heart and mind, something that keeps coming to you, and perhaps talking it out, as I do with others, and what you might do, how you respond. Let's pray. Lord, I said this at the early service in my prayers. When we look around ourselves, God, it's like it's easy to just kind of step back. So I indulge myself in watching sports or anything to kind of distract myself from what's around. But God, it's a challenging world. It's a darkened world. But yet, your kingdom is among us, God. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you would so grace our lives with your presence that you just help us to understand that we are so beloved of you. And that if we just take a next step, you'll do your work, God. So we come against the spirit of timidity, as you put it, as it's put in your word by the Apostle Paul, that you've given us a spirit of boldness. Give us a spirit of boldness all by your work, God, all by your grace. That we might join the battle in this time and place for your sake, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.